Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XS Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA?
It is.
We're back live from the Real Racing USA studios. And
that damn elevator's working pretty good now, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. I'm going to tell you, the people up at New Smyrna really need to take a lesson from your elevator guys. You need to send Robert Hart an email about these guys. It's nice to see you got you a new contraption over there so you don't have to fiddle with the microphone anymore.
Yeah, man, isn't this cool? Hands-free. Yeah, and I don't have to touch it or hang on to break it or anything like that. Yeah.
Good to, just going back to last night, you guys, Mark up there from Orlando Graphics, dude's got a killer radio voice, man. He's up on it.
Mark Keeler's on it, man.
Yeah.
Yep. He has recovered from being banned from Karnak. You know that?
Well, you know, they all want to be unbanned.
Bobby Deal said it was tenure.
Tenure? Some of us have tenure, and then there's other of us that don't. Couple things in the news this week. Wow, John Forrest, man.
Took a ride.
That's not even the word for it, man. I heard it first. They announced it first on the cup race, and I didn't get to see it. I got home from work. I didn't get home from work till like 9:30 that night. I was on break, and I watched it, and immediately Googled it when I got home, and I saw that wreck, and I said, oh, my God. But it took me like six times of watching it before I realized when that car came to the end of the drag strip, he wasn't even in it.
Yeah.
He was halfway down the track. When he pulled the chute, the back half of the car separated from the front half of the car, and he just took a tumble. Most of the headlines today are, I'm lucky to have my legs.
Right.
Well, that's him. That's a quote from John Forrest. Well, you know what's really lucky? That he's there to make that quote.
Yeah, buddy.
They had that team this year has had a tough time. They lost Eric Medlin, one of his top drivers at Gainesville this year, after the Gator Nationals.
That's right.
They were testing, and he had tires shake, and he bounced off the wall, hit his head in the roll cage inside. John Forrest has completely redesigned the inside of those roll cages now.
You know, I was talking with Steve Letemp, who, of course, straight lining with Stevie on a Wednesday night. So I was talking to him this afternoon, and he said that would be one of the things that would be a major contributor to this being survived. You know, is because John has redone the roll cages. I didn't realize it was in relation to earlier event at Gainesville.
He's 58 years old. He had a compound fracture of
that's
his left
ankle. That's a damn
good
age, by the way.
58?
Yeah, that's a very good age.
I'm getting there. A lacerated right knee that they said was down to the bone. A dislocated left wrist. Abrasions on two fingers and on his right hand. Had screws inserted into his ankle and temporary pins placed in his wrist. And down at the bottom here, Force's comment was, I gnawed off some fingers and toes when they had me trying to stand. So they got him standing up. They got him shuffling around. So that's a good thing.
Well, I'll tell you what. This makes Bill Green sitting up there or laying up there in the VA hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida, our good buddy Bill Green, writer from the Tampa Tribune, it makes his thing like about nothing. All he's got's some golf ball-sized kidney stones.
Yeah, but John Force is at Baylor University. Bill Green's at the VA hospital.
Yeah, imagine
Bill's
that.
Bill's probably having a tougher time of it.
That's right what now. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Things changing in NASCAR. The official beer of NASCAR next year will not be Busch, will not be Budweiser. It'll be Coors.
Coors?
Coors.
Rocky Mountain High.
$20 million deal for Coors to be the official beer of NASCAR next year. How about that?
Now, I wonder if Coors is going to prevent other people from putting their beer cans on somebody's car. Like Sprint.
Sprint, right, yeah. Yeah, no singular.
And I got to tell you, you know, I had Sprint. I had Nextel phones. I had Sprint phones. The service was absolute. My personal experience was absolutely horrible. I spent 25 hours in 2 weeks on the phone.
Yeah, I remember when you got the new phone.
Oh, my.
I've had Nextel for over a year, and I've had no problem. None.
Well, my experience was horrible, so I went to AT&T, and in about 6-8 weeks since I've had AT&T, I've not had one drop call.
Well, can't beat that.
Yeah, can't beat that. Yeah.
The other thing about NASCAR, you know, NASCAR, you call it nasty car. The drivers that are coming to NASCAR next year, Jacques Villeneuve will be driving a car for Bill Davis Racing. He's expected to test, I think it says, seven truck races, a couple Busch races, and move up into Cup.
How long do you think it'll be before most of the drivers' names will be unpronounceable?
Dario Franchitti is another one. He's coming to Chip Ganassi. Ganassi, whatever you want to say. So there's another one. Ricky Carmichael. We got Ricky Carmichael off motorcycles.
So you rednecks with the number 8 jackets better start taking some French lessons.
That's you know who's going to be driving the number 8 next year, right? Eric Aramola.
Eric.
Eric will be driving the number 8 car in conjunction with Mark Martin. Casey Kane will be your Budweiser-sponsored car next year.
Rick, Eric is really driving the number 8?
Yes, sir.
Eric, really?
For DEI. Yes, sir.
That's absolutely fascinating.
Isn't it? And, you know, I mean, we've got...
Well, listen to this. Now, this is not very good quality. I got to admit that the sound quality on this is not all that great. But here's... Just take a listen to this 20-second little spot here.
Hopefully, if we do good this year, then maybe something will happen, and maybe we can get a late model or something. All the sponsorship. You got to have sponsors do this kind of thing because it costs a lot of money. So as long as the money's coming in, we can move up. So we'll see what happens.
That was from Eric Amarola on one of our shows in 2003. I guess the money was coming in.
You know when that was, Jack? That was right before the modified race. That red van stuffed him in the wall.
Yep.
And Sam Rodriguez went to jail that night.
His grandpa and mentor and tutor and
fine man. We need to get him on the show sometime soon because I mean Sam goes way back in Florida racing.
No doubt.
He was one of the initiators the TBRA.
Yeah.
You know, back when they called sprint cars modified.
And he raced sprint cars all over the country.
He was a TBRA champion.
Speaking of which, pretty soon here, we're going to have to take a commercial break because we're going to have to, we want to hook up with a sprint car, ASCS sprint car, Star Arisen.
A champion. Not as a Ryzen, she's a champion.
Natalie Sather?
Yes, she is.
Sather?
Sather, I think is how you pronounce it. We'll find out. We'll ask her when we get her on the air.
We just don't want to ask her age, right?
I don't ask women their age ever again. Ever. I learned that the hard way. Of course, that was a drag racer, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hang on just a second here. Let's see what we want to do. Do you have something else here?
Do you want something else?
Yeah, we got to have something else there for just a second.
Well, since I didn't get to come on the show last night and be one of those announcers that got their...
Well, we didn't do that last night.
Oh, you didn't?
We're talking, of course, about Monday night's Inside
Florida Racing.
Yes. We had Pete Hamilton.
Now, what's the list of the shows that Real Racing USA has now?
Oh, that's right. Here you go. Check it out. Well, I get these commercials all lined up.
The Wednesday nights, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane from 9 to 10. Thursday night, we open the vault up. It's retro racing. Of course, Monday nights, 7 to 9, or whenever they get done, is Inside Florida Racing. Carol Wicks is the main lady in charge of that one. Looks like coming on Thursday, there may be a fast car show in the works for that night. So a lot of great things on realracingusa.com and the Real Racing USA Network. Man, it's come a long way in just 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And you know, had the issues with the drop-offs and the buffering and all. I think we've got that pretty well hammered out.
Well, I hope so. And for people that are a little more internet savvy, of course, they can download, if they don't already have a copy of Winamp, and listen to this show with Winamp, which, you know, I prefer. I think it's a little bit lighter on your computer. It doesn't take up as much memory out of your computer as say, Windows Media Player. Or you can also listen to it with Real Player, which Mark Keeler said he prefers. I prefer not to have Real Player on my computer, but it does do good. So.
And QuickTime.
We haven't quite got a we still have a problem with QuickTime, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll fix that up. We'll get the...
Let me see that paper again.
There you go.
Just as a program note, on Wednesday night, this week, Straight Lining with Stevie... Of course, Steve Letemp is the 8 to 9 hour. We have a whole hour of drag racing. The first hour, half hour each week will be four wheels. The second half hour is two wheels.
All right.
Yeah. So the first,
are you taking call-ins on that night?
As of right now, we can't take call-ins because we just don't have time. But hopefully this is going to expand a little bit, because tomorrow night we have alcohol funny car champion Dale Brand. John Furr, who are both drag racers on four wheels with doors open, as Stevie calls it, doors that open.
Doors that open?
Yeah. And then after that, we have the two of the top all Harley drag racers, Jay Turner, who won both the Top Fuel and Pro Fuel up in Virginia last week. And then Bob Malloy is going to tell us how a 50-cent part destroyed his weekend.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, and if you'd like to hear something on one of the Real Racing USA shows, you can go to realracingusa.com.
You have your own copy.
Yeah, I've got my own copy here. Yeah. And you can click on Fan Forums.
Okay, so we're going to take a break here, but first of all, we're going to run down. Tonight we have Natalie Sather, the sprint car lady. Then we have two AMP dirt drivers. These guys are from Arkansas. John Mitchell was the AMP Series champion this year. Kyle Beard was the Rookie of the Year. They're both from Arkansas, and we're going to have them both on at the same time. Then we're going to talk to Ryan Crane, who is a protege of Mike Garvey, who is currently leading the Blizzard
Series.
Yeah, up there at Five Flags. And, of course, that's all, you know, he's trying to get a total exemption to the Snowball Derby. Second hour, you saw it. Tell us about it, man. What do you think?
The killer cycle, man. This thing is unbelievable. Electric powered, 910 batteries in this thing. But when I was watching the video about it, it's powered by DC motors that used to power submarines in World War II.
Bill Dubay has got to be a character. I can't wait to talk to him.
160 miles an hour this thing goes. It's crazy.
Then we're going to one of short track racing's most just absolute famous places, Martinsville Speedway, and talk with Mike Smith. They already have 112 drivers, or they have 102 entries right now for the big, huge NASCAR late model stock race coming there this coming weekend. The drivers range from 19. There's eight drivers under 19 years of age, and Tink Reddy, who we tried to get on tonight but we weren't able to, is 51 years old. He'll be in it. We're going to talk to Mike Smith, who's the PR man up there. And then to end the show tonight, we're going to talk to Brandon Johnson, who somehow, with no paddles and no life jacket, is just doing it all in the ASA Late Model South Division. We'll talk to Brandon. So I think with that, Rick, we're going to take off and go to break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
All right, Rick. I think it's time to go drag or sprint car racing. Sprint car racing. And we have with us, if all the technical issues have worked out, is we have Natalie Sather on the line with us. Natalie, welcome to Real Racing USA.
Thanks for having me.
Natalie, first thing I got to ask you is, what is it like to be the ASCS Midwest Regional National Champion?
It feels good. I was a little bit nervous that night. They told me all I had to do was start the heat race, take the green flag, and I did that, but I still wasn't excited until they actually, you know, said, you are the ASCS Midwest Points Championship. So it was really exciting.
Now, there's a lot of tough competition in the ASCS.
Oh, yes. Yes. Brian Brown was there. Toby Chapman, he's last year's reigning champion. He came in second. I mean, to race against guys like that and to have won is just awesome.
Now, these are 360 sprints?
Yes, correct.
And how many years have you been in a 360?
I have been in a 360 since I was 18, and I'm 22.
Wow. So 4 years, and you're a champion. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Now, what do you attribute your championship to? Is it just consistency, crew, equipment? What do you think?
All of that. You know, consistency. I was really consistent this year. I believe out of the 11 shows, I placed in the top 11 out of 9 of them. So it was just consistency, which was awesome. I mean, if it wasn't for my crew, I wouldn't be out there racing, and, you know, the great equipment that my parents provide. I mean, it just, all that just finally came together this year, and it paid off in the end.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, in the Midwest, the ASCS Midwest, where do you travel?
This year we went to Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, and I believe that's it, just those kind of the tri-state area.
How many races are in the series?
11, I believe.
11?
Yep.
Consistency, that's great.
Yes.
We got some questions for you from some of our listeners. One of them asked, when will you move to 410s full-time?
You know, we try to race. We have a 410, and we race every once in a while. Full-time, I'm not sure if, you know, when or if we'll do that. You know, we like to just kind of, you know, mix it up with 360s and the 410s, so you kind of get a little bit of both. We did race at the Nationals this year and qualified for the A-Main on our prelim night. Unfortunately, we didn't race that next Saturday due to, you know, other conflictions that we had, because that Tuesday I had a points race, and I just didn't want to risk getting hurt or the equipment or anything. But as far as racing 410s full-time, I'm not sure when we'll be doing that.
Tell me what the difference is as far as a driver in the 360 to the 410.
The speed, obviously.
Right.
To me, it's the 410 is a little bit lighter on the front end, and it reacts more quickly than versus my 360. You know, this year, the only time I've raced my 410 was at Knoxville, and, you know, it's just a little bit lighter on the front end, a little bit more jumpy than my 360, and you have to, you know, how do I describe it? It's really hard to describe. You know, I just know how it feels. It's just a little bit, it's a lot lighter on the front end, and you kind of got to be more smooth versus with a 360, I guess.
Things happen a lot faster in the 410.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you doing a lot more adjusting in the 410, such as the wing and stuff, while you're driving?
It all depends on the track, you know, and the setup of the car. Depends on if it's, you know, slick or tacky, or if the car's set up loose or tight. That all depends. I mean, it's the same with the 360 versus the 410. You know, it kind of depends on the setup of the car and how the track's, you know, the track conditions, you know, vary as the race progresses.
Now, another question we got, are you planning on going national ASC touring instead of just regional?
You know, we've talked about that. Basically, honestly, this year, I hadn't even planned on really participating with the ASCS Midwest. Our initial goal was to just race for Knoxville Rookie of the Year and just kind of, you know, race and be consistent there. Well, I had kind of find myself in the position to maybe win the points championship, if not for surely a top five or a top two finish. And then we just kind of kept going with that, and then the ASCS Midwest thing paid off, thank goodness. But as far as the national point series, we're not quite sure yet what we're going to do next year.
That's a big step up, isn't it?
Well, it's just a lot more races, which I'm totally willing to do. I'm never home in the weekends or in the summer, basically, so if I ever get a weekend off, I find myself, what am I going to do? I'm not racing. This is not normal. So,
what's your long-term goal, dirt or pavement?
Whatever I can do to keep racing. I just love racing so much, whether it's dirt, pavement. I've done a couple, you know, different pavement things, just, you know, nothing too much with go-karts and other cars. But, I mean, I love the dirt. I'd like to experiment more with pavement, but right now I'm racing dirt, and that's what I love doing.
You said you started in a sprint car at 18. Actually, how long have you been racing?
I've been racing since I was 9.
Since 9 years old.
Yep. Technically, I started racing sprint cars when I was 17, but after 3 races, I was in a serious accident where I broke my leg in 3 places.
Ouch.
So I didn't get to continue on until I was 18. So,
what did you do when you were 9? What did you race when you were 9?
I raced go-karts around the, you know, Tri-State area. We had went to Tulsa, Oklahoma was the big one that we did in the Tulsa shootout. We placed 2nd there, and we did the nationals where I won a championship or a Duffy there, and just basically kind of toured North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, a little bit of Nebraska and Iowa, but that's what I started off in.
Now, what got you into racing?
I grew up kind of watching a friend of my dad's. My dad sponsored a sprint car when I was growing up. And I used to watch him and Donnie Schatz. I'm sure anybody who knows anything about sprint cars knows who Donnie Schatz is. And he's from North Dakota as well. And I kind of grew up watching him and a fellow friend of our family's named Mike Sitzman. And I just absolutely fell in love and just kind of saw a flyer for a go-kart race one day in a gas station. And I told my mom, kept bugging her. I go, can we go watch? Can we go watch? Can we go watch? And finally, I'm like, I want to do that so bad. So we got just a yard cart and went and started competing. And as the years progressed, we kind of got a little bit more into it, and it paid off in the end. And then finally, after winning nationals, I'm like, okay, we need to move up. This isn't fast enough for me anymore. So we decided to move up to full-size sprinters because that's the next car that we knew the most about.
Rick, remember we had Donnie on our show early in the this year?
Yeah, right after the winter nationals.
Yeah, class act, that guy is. Were you, when you started in those go-karts, were you like the only girl, or were there other ladies in the deal?
You know, I would run across very few girls. There was a couple girls from South Dakota, 2 of them actually, they were sisters. And then actually my best friend started racing. She only raced for probably about 1 year, but her sister started racing, and she actually still races go-karts, and she's actually very good. But as far as, I mean, not many girls, just, you know, 1 in 100 you'd probably come across.
So what kind of advice would you give to young girls? That's fascinating. See, when you're like 9 years old, 10 years old, I mean, you're still forming your thoughts about life, you know. And I mean, what advice would you give to girls who are going to buck the trend and go out there and race, who want to race?
I have 2 things that I kind of go by: never, never, ever give up, and face your fears and live your dreams. When I was growing up, I was always kind of tougher, and I once had, I'll never forget it, when I was go-kart racing, I had a young boy come up to me, and I will be honest, I used to beat him. And he came up to me, and he said, why don't you go home and play with your Barbies? And I said, I don't have Barbies. I have G.I. Joes. And but, yeah, he never messed with me again. So
I imagine.
I did have Barbies. I didn't have G.I. Joes. That's just what I told him.
Now, you're the only girl on the ASC Midwest Touring Series, aren't you?
Yep. There have been a couple girls that have raced with the Midwest Tour, but as far as consistently competing with them, yes, I'm the only one.
And the first girl champion.
Yes, that's what I was told.
Now, of course, we originate from Florida, and one of our listeners wants to know, will you be back at Volusia again in February?
I'm actually not sure. I'm sure we will, but our plans change all the time. Just check out my website, which is just nataliesather.com, and I post my schedule on there as soon as I know, and things do change, so just keep checking it frequently. But as far as Florida, I'm not quite sure. I'm sure we'll be back like we have in the past couple of years, but I don't want to make any guarantees yet.
Now, a lot of the sprint car drivers, it's amazing to me because over the years, been here a long time and watched them come. The trip to Florida, you guys come from all over the country, California, Iowa, all over the place. What's that experience like for you? Tell me what it was like for you.
It's it's different racing down in Florida. It's a different environment. Actually, every year we go down there, it's like, oh, we're going to go to Florida. It's going to be so nice and hot. And you go down there, it's like, I feel like we're in North Dakota. It's that cold. It's just kind of that time of the year. But I like racing at Volusia. I think it's an absolutely gorgeous track, and we have a lot of fun racing there. But it's just you experiment so many different things traveling all over the U.S., and I just have so much fun doing it.
And we got one final question from one of our listeners. They want to know, does Kenny Woodruff ever smile?
Yes, he does, actually. If you go on my website after winning the points championship, that's what the first thing I noticed after I looked at my camera was, I go, oh my gosh, Mom, Kenny is smiling in this picture. I was so excited because he does smile, but it's, he laughs all the time. He's not, maybe as grumpy, I guess, as some people think. And I've had a ton of fun with Kenny, and we've just had a ton of fun being able to race and, trial and error over the past few years. And yes, he does smile, but check out the picture on my website because it's a really funny picture.
Now, Kenny Woodruff, Hall of Famer. How did you get hooked up with him?
Just a friend of ours was talking to Kenny, this Mike Sisman, who I actually grew up racing. It happens to be good friends with Kenny Woodruff. And he had talked to Kenny, and he said, hey, there's this girl that you should meet. She races sprint cars. She's doing pretty good up in the North Dakota area, and you should meet her. Well, my parents didn't tell me right away, and then they told me. And I'd known who Kenny was, but I'd never honestly seen him or met him in person. And I was at a World of Outlaw race, and I saw him walking around in the pits, and this is when he crew chief for Sammy Swindell. Well, something had went wrong, and I saw him, and he was very upset. So I was, like, so intimidated. I saw him. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I admit I was a little bit intimidated, but then we went down to Tulsa, and I met him and everything. And it was a little bit intimidating right away, but as the years progressed, I've gotten to know him. And, him and his whole family, I love them all. I've had so much fun with Kenny and his whole family.
That's definitely, that's definitely a plus for your crew to have somebody like Kenny in your entourage.
Oh, yes.
No doubt about it. Now, you got something big coming up in October, right?
Yeah, we have the Winter Nationals down in Mesquite, Texas, which I'm looking forward to. There's a golf tournament that Thursday. I'm not sure if I'm going to make that or not yet. I actually have a prior commitment that day, but I'm trying to get out of it. But, yeah, we have the Winter Nationals. I'm super excited for that. Hopefully I can do good down there.
Natalie, tell us a little bit about where to get your website and who sponsors and helps makes your racing possible out there.
My website is www.natalie.sather.com. And I got to thank Kenny. By far, he's working on, and that's all he does. He just works on the car and makes sure everything is perfect, and I feel safe getting in that car. My parents, of course, Gateway Chevrolet here in Fargo, North Dakota, Brookings Auto Mall in Brookings, South Dakota, and J&J, Shaver Motors. If it wasn't for those guys, I wouldn't be driving faster on that racetrack. And, of course, Bell Helmet, Lady Eagle, they always keep me styling on the racetrack. And Hans Device and Butler Seats, I can't thank those guys enough. I was in a serious crash in Knoxville, and if it wasn't for the seat and the Hans Device and everything and my chassis holding up, I probably would have gotten, seriously hurt. But I got to thank all those guys that that keep me safe and every other driver safe out there.
Well, I'll tell you, you got a lot of fans across the country, and I know you have fans in Florida because that's how we found out about you, was people talking about you on a Florida-based message board. So that's how we found out about you. So,
well, that's awesome. Yeah, I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got fans all over the country, Natalie.
Well, awesome. That's good.
All right.
Well, Natalie, you're a great interview. We hope to see you at Volusia in February, and best of luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you.
Mm.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
Yeah, I picked that up off, there was one of the websites said that she was getting a test on the Menards. Somebody probably...
You can't, you know, you got to believe everything you read.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Had to ask.
That damn internet. Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. We're going to go for a little trip here. We're going to come back with two more dirt drivers, and then we're going to Five Flags Speedway.
All right.
Rudiman, you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail?
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler. Because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Designer's Cable TV hooker up.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
Hi, welcome back to another edition of Real Racing USA Live. And Rick, I think what we're going to do now, that was pretty good. That young lady,
she's awesome.
Yeah, if she not only obviously races well, but she does herself good on the air as well. So let's take a trip from dirt sprint cars and let's go to some dirt late models. How about
all right.
That?
Over let's in, do that. Yeah. Arkansas.
Arkansas dirt late model drivers, John Mitchell and Kyle Beard. You guys both hear us okay?
Yeah, I hear you good.
All right. So, John Mitchell, you won the AMP dirt late model championship out there in Arkansas. And, Kyle, you were the rookie of the year. Do we have all that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so Kyle.
Yes, sir.
Where did you finish in the points as the top rookie?
I finished second behind Mitchell.
Second in the points, that's pretty good.
Oh, okay. So you couldn't quite catch John, huh?
No, not quite. He got me on a few races.
You know, so we talked to you guys, both of you, earlier in the year. What kind of year was it, John?
Just, you know, pretty decent year up till about the last month we raced, and had a real good month. You know, that's kind of where we made up some, you know, some ground and the points. You know, Kyle led the points there early, and really that one good month for us is really what helped us win the championship. I mean, we had a decent year the rest of the time, but I think if it wouldn't have been for that month there, we had three or four good runs, you know, that helped.
Now, this was the first year for this series?
Yeah, this is the first year for it.
Yeah, we had talked to Christy earlier in the year.
Christy Hudson.
Yeah, and she was telling us that, you know, late model racing in Arkansas there was not doing too well.
Yeah, you know, here in Arkansas, I mean, it really got so expensive, it's cut a bunch of racers out on the late model stuff, and plus it's so far, you know, there's not really that many local tracks, so she started that series, you know, to kind of bring back some of the dirt late model stuff.
Now, did she make it more affordable for you guys?
Yeah, it's more affordable. You got like a spec tire, you can either run like a Hoosier tire or American Racer spec tire, which is that's their own spec tire. And that cuts the cost down a lot instead of like an open tire rule, and then also allow you to run like a spec motor where they give you a 12-inch spoiler and a weight brake. And, you know, that helps the racer too, where the motor expense is not as much.
Yeah, I've been reading a little bit about you guys, and the fan response has been really good to this series.
Yeah.
What kind of crowds... you know, do you guys like do autograph sessions and things like that before your races? Do you get a chance to do that at the racetracks out there and mingle with the fans?
Yeah, they have. She's had there at a couple tracks. We've had like an autograph session, and you know, let the fans come down, talk to the drivers, and see the cars up close and things like that. And, you know, that helps as far as your fan base.
So, hey, Kyle.
Yep.
Which one of you guys have more fans lined up in front of your cars? You or John?
I don't know. John got quite a few of them out there.
Does he?
I'd say we're probably tied up. I mean, I think we both, you know, I'm going to say me and him probably, you know, and out of car introduction, you know, we have a bunch of fans holler for us.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
That's cool.
So, John, how many years have you been doing it in the late model?
I've been racing for, probably about 6-7 years in the late model stuff.
What about you, Kyle? What about you, Kyle?
This is my first full year I've run late model. I ran about a half a season 2 or 3 years ago, and then they kind of cut them out on us.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. You know, finishing second in points, rookie of the year. That's a good run for you.
Yeah.
So what's your racing is done in Arkansas for it. So is racing basically over for the year, or do you have some other events that you will be you guys will be racing in?
We still got a few of them lined up. St. Christie's got some down in Alabama, or one down in Alabama, she's in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, our racing right now, I actually just got me a new modified IMCA car, and we've been running it. They've got a bunch of big money shows coming up this next month, and we've been running it, trying to get it ironed out, and we're still going to try to hit some of the, you know, hit her race right there and hit some more late model races on in the end of the year.
So, John, you do some traveling besides just the Arkansas racing?
Yeah, I mean, we both do. We run, you know, kind of like a traveling series. Plus, we try to run, you know, there's a few other series. You know, when she's off or something, we try to hit those races too, you know, just wherever you can go.
All right. What do either one of you guys come to the Winter Nationals down in Florida, like for East Bay or Volusia?
I had never been down there. We were thinking about going this year, but I hadn't made my mind up yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been. I've wanted to go, but my motor program really had never been. This year's better than ever, but I really my motor. I finally got where I've got some motors to work with. So, but no, I had never been there. I'd like to go this year.
So you think? Does it look like the AMP series will be back on track next year again?
Yeah, I think she's already got races scheduled, and you know, trying to get a schedule together right now. And yeah, I think she's gonna have it's a good series this year, and I think she's just built it up where it'll be even better next year.
Yeah, she's a really hard worker for the you guys, aren't she?
Oh yeah, she pumps us up now.
No doubt about it. Because when we had her on, man, that's all she could talk about were her drivers, and how great all you guys were. And it seems like there's a lot of camaraderie in that series.
Yeah, that's she kind of helps. You know, I think that helps make a series, and the driver, you know, they appreciate that a lot too. You know, as far as the promotion stuff, you know, that kind of helps. You know, helps them out.
Well, guys, it was great having you both on. Any closing comments?
Yeah, John, we'd just really like to congratulate you, John Mitchell, as the AMP Dirt Late Model Champion out there in Arkansas, and Kyle Beard, the came in second in points but was Rookie of the Year, and congratulate you guys, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again in the future.
Okay. Hey, I'd like to thank my sponsors, too.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Team GRT, that's Bill's, Bill's our chassis, and WW Timber out of Mall, Texas, Marion Towing, JFR Graphics, Integra Shocks, and J&J Motorsports.
Kyle?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my dad. He's my main sponsor. He's the one that got most of it all ready for me. My engine builder, Ronnie Samuels Performance Engines, and Bill Fry, he's helped us out a lot this year.
All right, guys, great job.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for being on the show with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, Arkansas Dirt Racing.
Yeah, Rick, I tell you what, we're going to hook up here with Ryan Crane from his website, by the way, if anybody wants to go check it out while we're talking with him. Ryan Crane, numeral 10, ryancrane10.com. And Ryan is one of the top late model drivers, super late model drivers around Five Flag Speedways, leading the Blizzard series up there. Of course, that's all headed in the direction of the Snowball Derby. Tell you what, Rick, why don't you take a run down these things, and if you got some other stuff while I just get him on the line right now, huh?
All right. We got a special show we're going to announce here in the next couple of weeks right here on Real Racing USA. Of course, if you want to go to realracingusa.com, and you can leave us a post about what you'd like to hear on Real Racing USA. Also, don't forget, on Wednesday nights, the O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane is on 9 to 10 p.m. Straight Lining with Stevie will be on from 8 to 9. Thursday night is We Open the Vault. It'll be Retro Racing, Real Racing interviews from the past with racers you guys know and have either come to love or hate. Jack?
Yeah, we turn this microphone.
Turn that microphone
turn
on.
Turn the microphone on. We'll be okay. We'll turn Ryan Crane's microphone on. And welcome, Ryan, to Real Racing USA Live on Tuesday night. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thank you all for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Looks like you're doing really good, leading the points in the Blizzard Series.
Hey, we've had a pretty good year. We haven't got a win there in the Blizzard Series, but just consistent finishes have kept us up there.
Yeah, you got Justin Drotty right there knocking on the door, 25 points ahead of him. But this is big deal here, running for that guaranteed starting spot in the Snowball Derby, right?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, actually, I got this spot a few years ago. I'd run second in the championship there, and I had a motor go back in qualifying about 2 years ago and had to use a provisional, so... Man, those things come in handy when you have a mishap like that.
Now, that Snowball Derby, that's got to be an awesome race to be in.
Oh, it is. It's a lot of prestige, and a lot of big names have run there, and it's just feels pretty special to be able to run something like that.
Now you've grown up around that racetrack there, Five Flag Speedway.
Pretty much. I've been racing there a couple of years now, and we've had pretty good success at it, won a couple of races, and the way this season's been going, I think we got a pretty good shot at this Derby, so I'm looking forward to it.
How fast are you going around that track these days?
It's like low 17-second range. I think it's averaging around right around the 100-mile-an-hour mark.
Yeah.
Now, Pensacola is pretty much different than most racetracks. It's almost a circle, isn't it?
It has a little bit of a back straightaway to it, a little bit of a front straightaway, but it does have a lot of turning in there. The biggest thing is the surface of Pensacola. It's worn out. It makes it very tough, and it plays a lot of toll on a lot of, you know, outsiders when they come in.
Takes us around the track. What's it like around the track?
I guess when you go up under the flag stand, go into turn one, you just kind of get on the line. You know, there's a yellow line all the way around the racetrack, and you get down there and try to stay there all the way around through the corners. That's the best way. I mean, you get up on the high side, it's hard unless you got, you know, real fresh rubber.
Yeah, I've heard that you go through some tires up there.
Oh, you'll go through some tires, man. It's the best time to try to figure out your car is in the first five laps of a tire. Otherwise, you're going to have to put another set and try to see what it's going to do.
And in this Blizzard deal, you got drivers coming from all over the place, right? I mean, they're not just the local guys.
Oh, no. I mean, there probably won't be four or five of us within an hour and a half or two-hour range of that racetrack. Pretty much everybody comes in from everywhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, for the Blizzard races that you've been racing at, you get guys. I mean, we talked to one young man. I can't remember his name right now. He comes to those races, the Blizzard races, from Texas.
Right.
Yeah, there's guys from Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Florida. I mean, it's pretty good rides for those guys.
Yeah.
Now, you being from that area, do you do much Alabama racing?
Yeah, I do a pretty good bit. We race at Op Alabama some, Mobile, Alabama. Just kind of racing around the short tracks there. We used to go up to Montgomery, but they closed the place down, and haven't been back there.
Now, have you ever traveled to any other tracks in the state of Florida?
Been to New Smyrna, Lakeland, Lake City. Tried those type of racetracks. Been to Auburndale, a little bit smaller place. But
oh, boy. Yeah. Did you have fun there?
Yeah, Auburndale's real fun racetracks, just real small. And
did you leave in one piece with your car?
Yeah, less than one piece, but I haven't been back since.
That's a tough place for late models.
Yeah, man. That's a tough place for late models.
Yeah. One of my favorite places down there at Lakeland, that three-quarter mile, that's a fun racetrack.
Yeah, no
doubt. You know, everybody loves Lakeland. And the other track that everybody loves is Lake City, too.
Yep, it's very fun.
Yeah, that's a fast racetrack.
So how did you get hooked up with Mike Garvey?
Actually, he's probably one of the well-known guys there in Florida by the name of Wayne Anderson. I was in the need of hunting a crew chief and somebody to help me, you know, consult my race team. And I knew Wayne Anderson back from racing the NASCAR All-Pro Series for a couple years. And I gave him a phone call and asked him who he knew or if he could maybe help me. And actually, Wayne referred me to Mike. He said that he was actually already had a commitment to do at the Derby back in, I guess it was, 2005. You know, I was going into that race, and I called Wayne and said, hey, I need some help for this race. He said, I can't do it. He's like, well, give Mike a call. And I called Mike, and ever since then, me and Ev have, you know, been traveling to all these races, and it seemed to work pretty good.
Yeah, that's some good advice right there. That's a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, now, what does he do for it? Is he like your crew chief? What all does Mike, how does Mike work with you?
Pretty much me and Mike talk on the phone a couple days a week. You know, it's about the car. I go up to his place, and he lives right outside of Atlanta, and we'll, you know, get the thing ready to go. Most races I do it myself, but if we run into something, we're going somewhere different that we haven't been before, we'll go up there. He'll help us get it ready. Then he travels to the racetrack with me. We go test, and, you know, he'll travel down to there and just kind of get the thing dialed in. It seemed to work out pretty good over the last couple years. Picked up a couple of wins and real consistent.
See, I'm told that you, Ryan, you graduated from Florida State.
I did.
And what kind of degree did you get?
I got my degree in business because I had planned on going to law school.
Yeah.
But all these years I've been full-time in school, so I hadn't really raced as much as I wanted to. So I graduated school there, and I decided to take a year out, and just kind of my dad's in the motorcycle dealership, so I help him and just trying to do my racing thing right now, but I haven't decided to go back to law school yet, but it's been on my mind.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad thing to fall back on.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah. I got my bachelor's, but I've been thinking about going back.
Yeah. So when is your next big event here coming up?
I got the Blizzard race there on October the 12th at Pensacola. That'll be our final, and that's going to determine the point. And the last race of the season over there before we head into the Derby, the 1st of November. And then I got a race November the 11th at Jefferson, Georgia, Peach State Speedway. It's called the World Crown 300, the 300-lap late model race up there.
Is that sanctioned by somebody?
Sanctioned by GAS.
Oh, that's the GAS race. Okay,
yeah,
Georgia Asphalt Series.
That's it. I'm going to enter that thing and see how we can do with those guys.
That's a 300-lap affair, huh?
It sure is.
Oh, boy. Oh, do you have any idea? Have you raced that before, or do you have any?
I haven't raced the World Crown, but I have raced up there in my other late model cars, and we have fared out pretty well, so we're kind of excited going into that.
Is that one of those deals that you expect to have a big field of cars and you have to qualify good and like that?
It sure is. I mean, you do have 300 laps, which can sort a lot of things out, but, yeah, you do want to get a good starting field spot, so you ain't got to come through all them guys.
So have you done any other traveling this year?
We traveled up there to Peach State once this year. Been to Mobile, Peach State. I went down to Lakeland around January this past year. We had a top five finish down there, ran real consistent.
That's the north-south shootout deal.
Yeah.
Haven't got to travel too much racing this year. Been real helping my dad and his business a lot, so maybe we can venture out a lot more next year.
Yeah. Well, so what business is that?
My dad's in motorcycle dealerships. He has the Honda Yamaha franchises.
Well, that helps out with the racing deal, doesn't it?
Yeah. Actually, that's who supports it all, is my dad. So
what are your aspirations here?
I'd like to go on up to level in racing. I really would like to make it on up to Craftsman Trucks, Busch, Cup, somewhere up that way.
That's a good deal. I mean, you've got the experience. You're, you know, especially leading these Blizzard points and Snowball Derby experience. You know, a lot of those guys have moved up from that race.
They have, and I think I heard the other day that Kyle Busch may be trying to come run the Derby. So, like you said, a lot of people will be following him, and maybe one day we'll have the opportunity to, you know, further my career.
Well, the other thing that you got at the Derby, too, is, you know, a lot of the NASCAR pit crew guys come down here, and then there is also in the stands, it's kind of like football, you know,
scouts.
You got the scouts out there.
You sure do. And actually, a couple of guys that do some pit crew with me are the XGN, I guess the new DEI guys. I mean, a couple of guys work there, you know, during the week, and they'll come down and help me, so.
And you have some public, you have somebody representing you, right? I mean, you have some people working for you.
I sure do. I got Chris Regal with Tex Motorsport, real good guy, and he's helped me out along the way on the market end of it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that always helps.
As a matter of fact, you know, Rick, we're going to have to get Chris on here one of these nights and talk to him about some of the business end of this. But, Ryan, let me ask you. What is, like, when you're racing against these guys that come in, what is the toughest part of these 125-lap? These are 125-lap races, I believe, right?
The 100, some of them are 125. This next one coming up is a 100.
Yeah. What's the toughest part of these? I mean, is this like a sprint, or you got to, like, pace it out? I mean, how do you attack these things up there, especially with the tire deal?
Yeah, at a place like Pensacola, with it being so hard on tires, you got to pace yourself and try to get your tires to last as long as you can and make that pit stop, because we have only one stop on a 100-lap race. You try to get them tires to last as long as you can so you can have a sprint at the end.
Are those hot pit stops?
Oh, yeah, live pit stops.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Wow, that in a 100-lap race. But everybody's going to have to make that pit stop, right?
There's been guys that attempt it, but it don't fare too well for them.
So what do you say the average tire wear is at Pensacola on a Super?
This year we've been stopping around the 50 to 75 lap mark, kind of where the caution falls, you know.
Yeah,
we've hit it
a few times, depending on how we are.
Is that about what you're going to get out of a set of tires up there?
A couple years ago in the Derby, we went over 100. Didn't want to, but we had to, you know, because the way the cautions fell. But you can make them run that long. You just fall off the pace so bad.
Yeah.
So you could actually, in this 100 lap race, you could actually, if there's a caution out at, like, lap 30, you could actually pit right then and then not have to come back in.
Oh, you sure can. But just most guys want to have the freshest rubber at the end. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your how do you go into the Derby compared to running these Blizzard races?
The Derby got to be pretty much, I guess everybody, it's kind of, you break it down in three sections, the way we've, me and Mike Garvey's always looked at. You got, you know, 300 lap segments. So you kind of want to take your first segment, get your way to the front, so it makes, you know, if you start, you know, mid-pack or to the rear, get to the front, have good pit stops, you can ride through the middle part of the race, and the last part, you know, go back at it and hold, stay up front. Kind of way we've looked at it over the years.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've noticed about the Derby, the big stuff's going to happen at the beginning and at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah, all the trouble's either at the beginning or the end.
And you never know where it's going to happen. It may happen up front of the field. It may happen in the back. It's been everywhere, you know, over the years. So.
All right, and Ryan, your website is RyanCrane10.com.
That's
and,
it.
And who are some of the sponsors here?
Honda of Panama, and then I got Yamaha Sea-Doo of Panama. They got websites too, YamahaPanama.com. Check them guys out.
Yeah. Cool.
I got a question to ask you real quick, though, since you're kind of involved in motorcycles. What do you think about Ricky Carmichael making the move?
Pretty neat. I mean, I would really like to see him at the Derby. You know, just have the opportunity. I've seen him, you know, met him at different motorcycle conventions and stuff through the motorcycle business, but it'd be neat to actually see him at a racetrack, you know, as far as car-wise on four wheels instead of two.
Yeah, he's been racing on, like, Columbia Motorsports Park there, and he's New Smyrna.
Won a heat race at Orlando, I think.
Yeah, won a little race over there at Orlando. And we had him on our show, our Inside Florida show we do on Monday night not too long ago. And it was a pretty interesting talking with that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, good young man.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to see him up there. It'd be fun to race against him.
Yeah. All right, good. Pleasure talking to you, Ryan, and we wish you the best, man, and we'll, of course, be checking up on you and see how things fare out in this as we move towards December's Snowball Derby at Five Flag Speedway in Pensacola, Florida.
Hey, thank y'all. Y'all guys try to make it up there. I think they have reserved tickets, and maybe everybody can get watch it.
Yeah, we've been talking with the folks up there, and I think we're going to do that.
Yeah, I think we're going to make it up, and when we do, we'll come see you.
Good deal. Can't wait.
All right, Ryan.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Ryan Crane.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're up against it, man. We got to go to commercial here, and we got to come back and shift gears completely.
We're going to go from gasoline to batteries.
Black and Decker's coming to you.
There you go.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football.
Every year, you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
For the niches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score. With an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model, and you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to Five Star Race Car Bodies. Five Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, Five Star has one driving passion, to help you win. Five Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, fivestarbodies.com.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12 volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. Excess power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
I got to remember to do that, don't I?
Yeah.
You know, Rick, I was going to say if I can almost picture Scott McAllister, our good buddy Scott McAllister, doing a call of this next bunch of guys we got on here, the Killer Cycle.
The Killer Cycle. How you guys doing tonight?
Good. About yourself?
Oh, we're doing real good.
Yeah, we'd like to welcome Bill Dubé, the creator of the Killer Cycle, and Scott Polacek, the rider of the Monster Machine.
It is a monster.
It is a monster. I watched that video on your website, and unbelievable. How did you come up with the concept for this thing?
Well, you know, it's I got tired of breaking my street ride. You know, I used to drag race my Cabriolet, Volkswagen Cabriolet, kind of a Barbie car. And I used to, it's an electric, and I used to race it and break it. And so I would get, I got tired of doing that. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to get serious, what can I afford to do? And, well, a bike is a little less expensive than a dragster, so that's what I decided to do.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, but the thought process that had to go into this, that, you know, in that video it says that there are two DC motors that, like, used to power submarines or something like that?
they're the same style that's been used, like, in the Baker Electric or World War One submarines. They're ancient style series wound motors. Yes, indeed, DC motors. We're hoping to go AC next season, but we'll see what happens. It's pretty pricey to do that.
So instead of replacing pistons and rods, you got to put brushes in it.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's when you've seen the plasma video. I don't know if you saw that Las Vegas video where we plasmaed a motor, but that's what's being chewed up there. That's what's making the fireworks. Is the brushes just can't take it.
Bill, when did you create this this bike?
I built this. It's the whole team, by the way. You know, I want to say that there's Steve Sikora, Derek Barger, and you know, Scotty. You know, there's a bunch of us work on this, but those are the main characters.
And, I got you.
Without them, we couldn't do this. This is a team effort. It would be impossible. But we started. Back in '99. Is put this thing together first. And the instant we started running it, we started setting records because there weren't very many at that time. But we were running the 13s way back then.
Scott, how different is this from riding a fuel Harley dragster, for instance?
The biggest difference for me is that it's so quiet. It doesn't make any noise, you know, like right after I do the burnout and then I'm rolling up to the starting line. Anything that's going on around me, I can hear, like the announcer talking over the PA and, you know, the starter talking. When I'm on the
gas bikes, I can't hear anything because they make so much noise, and they also vibrate a lot, and this doesn't make any noise or vibrate, so that's the biggest difference for me.
What's interesting is when you race another electric, when I was out there racing, you know, before I let Scotty take it over, and that was a smart move, by the way, but let Scotty take it over, took 70 pounds off the bike by doing that, by the way, but had Scotty take it over, you can, if you're racing another electric, you can trash talk the guy in the other lane.
But can he hear you?
Oh, yeah. That's about that.
Yeah, that's wild. So now you guys have just done a big deal on Speed Channel and on your website, Killacycle, KILLACYCLE.com. You got videos and all kinds of good stuff on there. And I understand you're working on another project for television.
That's right. On this next couple days here, the Discovery Channel is going to come out and film us out here at Vandermeer Speedway. And that's private. Nobody can come. Sorry. It's private, cold, close set. But they're going to be coming out to have us race head-to-head against a pro stock bike. This will be really exciting. Connie Cohen's going to be coming out there racing it.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with this, you're going like 160 miles an hour and a quarter mile. Is that the speeds we're talking about?
Almost. The last deal that we did in Portland, we went 158 miles an hour, and that was the one that was on the Speed Channel shoot where we actually broke our own record. We went about 2 miles an hour faster than what we had previously gone.
Yeah, so but go ahead.
We're hoping in Denver with this Discovery Channel shoot to go even faster and quicker than what we have before. Bill was just telling me that he's got a new battery pack ready to go that has quite a few more batteries than what we had before, so we're adding some horsepower, trying to go quicker and faster.
So
put about 90 more. We're going to put 220 more cells in the bike, and that'll add about 34 pounds. And these are the A123 Systems nanophosphate cells, which are, they're the holy grail of batteries. Forget everything you know about batteries, by the way. It seems you're a whole new thing. But we're going to put 220 more of those, 34 pounds worth, and that should give us almost another 100 horsepower. So we're at 8.16 now. That, I keep our fingers crossed. We're hoping to get it into the 7.
So voltage equals horsepower.
Voltage times current equals horsepower.
Okay. how you got it flowing?
Well, we're going to be flowing this new pack. We're putting 1,800 amps and 374 volts. What we're putting out there. So
Bill, are you in
station an aluminum plant? We'll be drawing enough to dim the neighborhood for just about a few seconds there. So.
Bill, are you and some of the other members of the team or other members of the team, are you guys like engineers?
Oh, we're, regular pocket protector crowd. That's a fact. It's kind of fun. We get the geeks out there racing, All my fans have pocket protectors and ham radio licenses.
Rick, this is a team full of Hans Niebuhrs.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Hans would go crazy.
Yeah, we used to have a guy who worked with us at radio. He was an electrical engineer. I mean, he was a genius in the... We were just referring to that. Sounds like you guys are kind of cut from the same mold as him. He could take two wires and a battery and, you could go.
He was our MacGyver.
Yeah. So I
can't include Scotty in the geek squad, though. He's just a regular guy,
Right.
Tire store and,
Yeah, I own a tire store, and, those guys, they do all the inventing and all the wiring and all that kind of stuff. I would like to mention that we have a new sponsor that just came on, ridersdiscount.com, that's outfitting me with some new safety gear and helmet and boots and gloves and things like that. And we appreciate them doing that. And I also need to thank my fiance Susan. She does all my travel arrangements and all the video in and goes to all the races with me and helps out and is a computer expert. And then I've got a couple other guys, Nick, friend of mine, and Jerry, friend of mine, that go to most of the races with me on the other stuff that I race and work on the other bikes. And my partner, Joel, who takes care of the shop when I'm gone all the time, that's a big help letting me get out of here and go racing and hang out with Bill and those guys and ride all the fast bikes.
Yeah, it takes a whole team to do this sort of thing. A lot of times you see on the Speed Channel, it's just me talking. They'll just pick somebody. pretty much. And there's a whole bunch of people who put a lot of time in this to make this happen. We're doing this as a garage effort, though. This all goes into my garage. We don't have deep pocket sponsorship here. This is a putting me in the poorhouse out here. But we get batteries, and we're real grateful for this Rider's Discount to come on board, and Manzanita Micro supplies a charger to us, and Jim Husted at High Torque Electric makes our motors for us and gives us a good deal on that. We couldn't do it without these guys.
And then we got great guys like you who put us on the air and kind of get our deal out there a little bit and get people to know about us and hear about us. That always helps.
It's something, non-drag racers really, it's great that we get to talk to kind of drag racers about this, but non-drag racers are most impressed by our 0 to 60 time. We're doing 0 to 60 miles an hour in about 0.97 seconds.
Holy crap.
0 to 60, and I'm writing this down now, okay? 0 to 60 in 0.97?
Yep, that's right. That's a 60-foot time of...
isn't that illegal?
Scary.
But it's all green. It's all green.
Yeah, our 0 to, our 60-foot times are 1.15 is what we're getting. And actually, that turned out to be a track record at PIR, which was interesting. It's nice to have an all-over track record, but I guess they don't really get a good track prep out there sometimes, and so I guess we hit a good night with it and manage to link up pretty. That's the best our best 60-foot times too.
What?
That 60-foot time, people do better than that with drag racing, but it kind of is something to do to tell people to get an ordinary person to hit it home what you're doing.
Wow,
no doubt.
So now you guys did you for whatever reasons you started it? Now where the program is now? Where do you see this going?
I'm telling you this. And give it 2 or 3 years, and this is the way people are going to go fast. This is it. This generation of batters, you see, we're a low bucks outfit, and we're right now we're getting to the point where we're going kind of on the par with the pro stock guys. Now you think about that. Those are generally, high dollar programs,
six figure
programs generally, and we're like a 2-figure program, or 5-figure.
Right.
I mean, we're really limping along. We spend more. They spend more on an engine than we spend in a year.
Right? What is the maintenance like on this bike?
Well, Scotty, what do?
We plug it in basically to the charger, and we put air in the tires, and make sure that the batteries don't get cold. We got to keep some heat in them, and in between runs, that's the biggest thing we have to do is charge it up, and it only takes them about 10 or 15 minutes. We could actually run, several passes on one charge, but it would go a little bit slower each time. And, of course, we always like to go faster, so we charge it up after every pass. But, it's not like a gas bike. You don't have to pull the clutch out and clean the plates and put them back in and, adjust the valves and all that stuff. This is a little more simple as far as, in between round maintenance.
Yeah, and it's, I might add, it's about 10 cents worth of electricity each run. It doesn't even, it doesn't even count. But you also asked where it's going before. I kind of want to get back to that.
Yes.
Generation of batteries, we have the first generation that came out from A123 System, and these are the M1 cells is what they are. They're going to come out with two versions of what they call ultra cells, and one of these versions is a high-power version. If you didn't think we had power now, the high-power version is going to have twice the horsepower and the same weight. Now, if you can imagine this motorcycle going from 500 horsepower to 1,000 horsepower without picking up any significant weight other than the motors to handle it, now you realize that, this is the way to go fast.
Go from a pro bike to a fuel bike.
Oh, yeah. Or beyond.
So
you're actually going to have to build a new chassis to be able to handle all the power that this thing is going to be making. So we're going to have, a lot different bike with a bigger tire, able to handle more speed and more power. Something that will give us some more traction, because we're starting to have a traction issue now. But when we get those new batteries and that new chassis, we're gonna really be flying.
That's something else I wanted to ask you. Does it have a transmission?
No clutch, no flywheel, no transmission. It's just a chain wrapped around a sprocket, a pair of sprockets. That's it.
Just a direct drive, bang.
Just like a giant cordless drill is what this thing is.
Wow.
It sounds like a cordless drill out there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's I'd say it's very simple in a lot of ways. I mean, there's complicated parts. The electronics that Steve Sikora builds for us, I mean, that's a complicated deal to get that all just that first time through. Imagine building your own radio from scratch, or your own TV from scratch. We have to build a lot of our parts just from scratch and design them because nobody else is doing it.
So your throttle's basically an on-off switch.
Oh, no.
No?
Oh, no. You can't do that in drag race fast.
So what? It's like a resisted switch?
It's like a volume control on your stereo.
Okay.
All right. It's a variable resistor that tells the controller what to do. It's pretty complicated inside, but we can actually program the bike to do things. So we can launch. Scotty can launch either on the throttle, which we do generally the first run down the strip, just to do a shakedown cruise, and then after that we launch on the button. Scotty pushes a button and pushes a shift button halfway down the track. And that's it. And when we say shift, this is an electronic shift. We start out in series with both motors, pushing 2,000 amps for both of these motors. And then we shift them into parallel so we can get more voltage to each one of the motors, less amps. But we can really, it shifts and it feels out there just like you shifted a Lenco or something.
Now I remember you saying that something about that on the video when it actually ripped the tire up.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, what happened there was, it was set on automatic shift, and we hadn't done that before, and it actually did the shift from series to parallel in the burnout, and it's never done that before. And what it does is it tries to kind of stop motion, shift it, and then restart again. And it was just too much force and pressure on the tire, and it actually de-beated the tire right off of the wheel. And we decided after that we didn't want the auto shift anymore, that we just have me manually shifted as I'm going down the track. But once we got that all straightened out, then we didn't have any issue with the tire anymore. And just for added safety, we went ahead and put screws in the wheel into the bead of the tire to keep that from happening anymore.
That's monster torque. I mean, it's just monster torque you get with this thing. Ungodly. We get to the back tire, we're getting about 2,500 foot-pounds of torque. Each motor puts out about 400.
Wow.
We couldn't even keep it on the dyno machine. It has so much torque that it ripped the straps off, the hooks and the tie-down straps. It just straightened one of those hooks right out.
Man.
Do you have, like,
on... the frame on a dyno, by the way. We bent the frame on a bike dyno.
Wow.
Do you have, like, onboard telemetry or computer chips that are giving you information, or is it all observation?
We do now. We've been kind of blind for a while because of the controller itself. Imagine trying to put some sort of a telemetry system on a radio tower. And so you got this, 500 horsepower of pulsating electricity flying around there. It's kind of hard to make some electronics work. So we got something now. We haven't had for a while. We've been blind for a while. It's been really crippling to us. But then again, you have to remember, we're kind of a garage operation. Doing this on the side. Have to build pretty much anything we want. So it gets, we do as much as we can with what we have.
Yeah. So again, I'm really onto this thing about like how this. Have you been contacted, or you've been in touch with, like, are there people that have environmental interest, or the green deal, so to speak?
Well, I tell you, that's one of the motivations of doing this. By the way, there's an organization for electric drag racing. I really want to bring them up. And this is the National Electric Drag Racing Association. Been in existence for quite a while, about 10 years now. And this is a sanctioning body very much like the NHRA. And I've been a member of that one of the founding members. I think I'm member number 3 of that. And what our goal is to show that electric vehicles, dispel the myth of electric vehicles, that they don't have to be, low performance. They really don't. And they're not inefficient if they're high performance. They really aren't. When you, as far as the green thing goes, if you think about it, people will buy whatever pleases them, as far as a car goes, whatever is an emotional appeal, really is a sexy car. And so if it's a high-performance car, they don't care whether it's electric or gasoline or whatever. They'll buy it. And if people buy electric cars, then they'll matter. If people don't buy them, then they won't matter.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And so if you can make an electric car sexy, which you can, you can really, the new battery technology makes it so you can make a very, very high-performance electric car, very, even a hybrid car. They can be higher performance than the straight gasoline cars. By the way, Formula One is talking about going hybrid in 2009.
Wow.
Really?
Yep.
What's the weight ratio to this bike compared to a piston bike?
Go ahead, Scotty.
This particular bike weighs 605 pounds, and most of the other stuff that I ride, like the Harley that I ride and my Suzuki that I ride, they're both about 4 to 425 pounds, so it's a good 200 pounds heavier, you know, than the other stuff that I ride, so it's even that much more impressive, you know, with how fast it goes and how good it's 60 foot compared to a gas-powered bike.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have to carefully apply. That's the beauty. You know, a lot of people think it's just giving it all a gun out there to, you know, everything you can to get the thing to link up. And nothing could be farther from the truth. We could apply instant torque if we wanted to. I mean, instant torque to the rear tire. And you can't do that. You have to ramp the torque up. And we carefully ramp the torque up to make the bike squat correctly and transfer the weight from the front to the back. And also carefully control the torque down the down the strip. That's one of the reasons we get good 60 foot times. You just can't slam it to it, or like an on off sort of thing. You can't do that.
Right. And I have to admit, you know, when Jack told me about we were going to have you guys on, the first time I ever saw anything about this bike, I think it was you, Bill, on the bike.
Oh yeah, that wasn't good.
Bill's famous ride.
Yeah, my
that, is that why Bill? Is that why Scotty rides the bike and Bill puts it together?
I am actually, you know, I got to say, I'm actually licensed to drive this machine, but I haven't driven it in about 5 years, you know. So, and that's really, I told Scotty after that, Scotty, I promise never to ride your motorcycle again.
All I remember is I saw you get on that bike, and I didn't realize that it was an electric bike at the time, and you gunned it, and it started. The tire started smoking. I'm going, damn, that's a quiet bike. And then you took off, and everybody was going, wow, oh no.
Yeah, they made it quite a bit more dramatic than it was. I managed to get it slowed down pretty good. And one thing I really want to emphasize is that we were really, really careful to make sure that area was completely clear in front of the bike of other people. I mean, that was a must to me. You know, I mean, they wanted me to do this in the parade and other things. I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, we have to get an empty area where nobody else. I don't mind putting myself at risk, but I don't want to put other people at risk.
Yeah,
I really should have been wearing all the gear. Yeah, all gear, all the time. And that's why we got Rider's Discount as a sponsor, by the way. They felt bad for me, and I said, we got to get you gear. And I said, well, you can get us gear, but I'm not going to ride the bike again.
How bad did it hurt the bike?
Not too bad, crumpled the front. I was only going about 10, 15 at the end there. I needed another 10 or 15 feet to float down.
Uh-huh.
Didn't have it. And so it's pretty lightweight stuff on the front end of a drag bike. And so we crumpled that up pretty good, and then I just replaced it all. It wasn't too bad. You know, it just kind of, you know, hurt your pocketbook a little bit, but and your pride. But, I'll live and learn. At least I did live.
Well,
it looks a lot worse. I mean, I'm lying there and all this sort of stuff. And
well, you actually looked worse than the bike did.
Yeah, but I wasn't. It was like, this is what you do. When you fall off a motorcycle, you don't move.
Right, right,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm telling people, don't touch me. Leave me alone. I'm fine. Just wait for the guys to come. They'll check me over, and then I'll just get up and walk away. And they insisted in putting me on the ambulance, even though I could have just got up and walked away.
They really insisted on videotaping you.
Oh, yeah. They're all around me like 4 or 5 video cameras. Oh, yeah. Well,
and actually, he only meant to do a burnout. He didn't even plan on moving. He thought he was going to just, you know, stand one spot and spin the tire. He wasn't planning on, you know, riding it down the sidewalk there. So it wasn't, you know, quite as planned, but things do happen. It is, you know, still a dangerous sport. I mean, we had one of our best, you know, most famous racers, John Force, in a terrible accident on Sunday, get hurt really bad.
Sure.
You know, and I mean, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. It's
absolutely
dangerous still.
Yeah, we were talking
Thank
about that at the beginning of the show.
Thanks for the vote there, Scotty. But let's move on to something else.
Well, so Bill, tell you what, we're coming up on the end of our half hour. Bill and Scott, is there? I mean, there's just a thousand questions I could ask, but is there something that we didn't cover that you really think you need to get out that hasn't been said?
I think we're doing a pretty good job here. Again, it's electric drag racing is going to be what we're going to be doing in 2 or 3 years. I it's going to be the way to go fast. I mean, these new batteries, A123 systems, nanophosphate cells, they're not only powerful, I'm going to give this out. I'm going to put the big plug in here. They're safe. They don't explode like laptop cells. They last 10,000 cycles. You'll never buy. We could run 5 years on the same battery pack.
Wow.
You know, and they're, you know, I mean, what else do you want? I mean, and also they don't have any heavy metals in them or anything like that. So, I mean, it's just forget everything you know, thought you knew about batteries. We run these things, by the way, at 100 degrees C when we come off. We could boil water on these batteries when we're coming off the trip.
Man.
All right.
That's definitely the wave of the future.
Yep. You could never do that with any other kind of battery. They'd be a molten pile you know, of nothing in it. They've just got it down. These were invented at MIT, and the technology was, and a lot of the people involved in this company are from MIT. And it is amazing. I mean, they sent them to me to test, and I went, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, we'll see what the spec sheet is, and yeah, well, sure. And it was like, they're better than the spec sheet. Holy man. Wow, that never happened.
All right, Bill Dubay and Scott Polacek, part of the team that makes the killer cycle a killer cycle, man. I'm telling you.
Killercycle.com. We'll have the links up for it. Guys, it's great having you on. And who'd have thought the next wave of racing is coming from MIT?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Thanks, guys, for having us on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Scott.
Hey, yeah, it's great talking. Appreciate the time.
All right, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Looking forward.
Thanks, guys.
All right, good night.
Thanks.
All right. The killer cycle. Okay, Jack, 1 week we learn about brakes. The next week we learn about batteries.
I got to tell you, though, Bill Dubay.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, it's really a pleasure having you guys on. We will talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, looking forward. Hey, thanks for having us on, and thanks for letting us plug our sponsors. That makes a big deal to us. That gets us, you know.
All right.
Get this out there and get this racing.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right. Okay, hit that button, John.
Well, you know, Bill Dubay reminded me so much of Hans Diepel.
Oh. It's uncanny.
It's really uncanny.
I really did. The first time I ever saw that was on a YouTube video of him running into this minivan. And then you told me we were going to have him on the air. I said, and it does sound like a sore subject.
It definitely is. Okay, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with, I think we're going to talk to Mike Smith, who's the public relations director at Martinsville Speedway.
The Bailey's 300.
Yeah, buddy. NASCAR late model stocks. Be right back.
A technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to go The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com. At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web, view and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
Hi, I'm Rob Partolo, driver of the 93 ASA late model. And you're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today at 5starbodies.com.
Well, Jack, 3 years ago, Denny Hamlin was sitting on the outside pole for the Bailey's 300 late model race at Martinsville, and now he's in the chase for the Nextel Cup. On the phone with us right now, we've got Mike Smith, Public Relations Director for Martinsville Speedway. Mike, I hear you got a ton of race cars up there in the pits.
Man, we've got, gosh, I don't know how many we're going to have, guys. We had 123 there for test day. I've already got over 100 entries. We may have 125, 128, 130 cars on Sunday. So we're pretty cotton picking excited about it.
Yeah, you ought to be excited about it, you know, because we talked to, you know, racers from all over the country, and these dirt guys are really proud of how many cars they get in the pits for these big races. But Bailey's 300, man, they have always drawn.
Well, you know, I heard you mention Denny Hamlin on the intro, and I think that's one of the things that really has helped the late model, asphalt late model series in this part of the country, that now young guys can see that somebody has come out of their late model ranks and really done well. You know, they can look at him or Timothy Peters or Peyton Sellers and say, gosh, we keep our car going, we got a chance. And then I'm at a function right now, a media function, with some of those young guys like Drew Herring and John Denny, and got Jonathan, Stephen Berry here, some real young talent and out of this area, and they're good, bright, good racers. And you know, they've looked at Denny and they've figured, gosh, you know, it's a chance for me to move on up. So I think that has played a big reason, big part in the resurgence of asphalt late models in this part of the world.
Yeah, and especially competing at Martinsville. Martinsville is the unique racetrack on the NASCAR circuit. And the other thing, you know, about Martinsville, you know, you got the big modified race, but the late models really stand out on that racetrack.
Well, I was talking to a young driver. Actually, he's a young 40-year-old driver, his first trip to Martinsville, and he was talking about he didn't think he breathed the first two laps of practice the other day, just thinking about the great drivers that had run on the same track, you know, Petty, Yarborough, Allison, Earnhardt, Gordon. And that's part of the mystique about this event, that it's the only cup track that the late model guys get to run on. And then, of course, you throw in things like $25,000 to win, the grandfather clock. It all makes for a pretty neat, pretty big weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Mark Martin's won on that racetrack. And that grandfather clock, man, those guys really covet that award.
Oh, it is. I guess the only trophy in racing that comes close to it is the Guitar in Nashville. And they've given a lot of lows out. We're pretty selective. You've got to win on a Sunday afternoon to win one of the grandfather clocks. So that means the Cup guys get them, and the winner of the Bailey's 300 get them. The truck guys don't even get a grandfather clock.
There you go. Now, is there any of the upper echelon guys going to run in this race?
Well, I guess the only outsider really is Dennis Setzer, who runs this race every year. You know, Dennis, I'm not sure what his situation in the Truck Series is now, but back when he was winning several races a year, he always came back to run this race for the Long Brothers. They helped him get his start in late model racing. They always promised him he'd come back and run this race for nothing. You know, he doesn't take anything out of the purse for it.
Yeah, well, you know, this race is comparable to down here. We've got the Snowball Derby. Now, up there, is there any other races that build up to this race?
No, there are some races after this, some other big events. A lot of the weekly racing series tracks like South Boston and Myrtle Beach and Concord have some big races, but none of them draw the fields that this race does. Or, you know, I think last year we had drivers from 12 or 13 different states for this, which is really amazing for NASCAR late model event.
Yeah, it is. And the late model racing up there, is it still as strong as it's been?
It's, you know, I think weekly racing is tied so tightly to local economies. And you know, we saw a dip about 3 or 4 years ago where we didn't have but 80 cars for this event. And the weekly racing tracks, their car counts were down. Well, now we've got tracks like Motor Mile Speedway over in Radford where they averaged almost 30 cars an event this year. Southern National Speedway down in Kenley, they're back up almost 30 cars an event. So, you know, the economy is stronger through the region. The weekly tracks are drawing well. And all of that just funnels into us.
Are these the late model stocks that race in the Carolinas and really strong in the Carolinas and Southern Virginia? These cars are not like as expensive as, like, say, the super late models, are they? They're less expensive to put together and maintain.
I think so. I think you can probably have a turnkey car for $30,000, but you know, we were noticing in the pits test day, probably a third of these guys have cup type haulers now. They're toting a couple of cars to every race. You know, I don't know where the money's coming from, but gosh, it's getting it's getting richer and richer. That's for sure.
Yeah, same down here in Florida. Now, what is the events? I mean, what do you do to qualifying and such and heat races, whatever?
We do. On Saturday, we'll do a little practice and after tech on Friday, but we've got so many cars to tech, we won't get much practice in. Then on Saturday, we'll have 2 hours of practice, and then we'll go straight to qualifying about 1 o'clock, and it'll take a couple, two and a half hours to get all these cars qualified. We take the top 22 cars on time for the 43-car field, 42-car field. Then on Sunday, starting at 12:30, we have 4 25-lap heat races. We take the top 5 out of each race. Caution flags do not count, and pretty interesting stuff in those 4 25-lappers.
Yeah, I imagine these guys are battling for top 5 spots.
That's 400 laps of racing.
Yeah, that's a lot of racing.
Well, actually, we call it 300 laps on Sunday, but it's 100 laps from the heat race and 200-lap feature. We stop at halfway, invert the field. We do a draw. We invert somewhere from 1 to 10 at the halfway point, which makes it interesting for the fans. And so it's actually 300 laps of racing on the day, but it turns into a long day sometimes, not counting the caution flags in those heat races. And, guys, I've seen people that you would not think had a chance of making the feature race maybe start dead last in a heat race, and – you know, the last lap is a big crash, and this guy finishes fifth, and he's in the feature. Now, that's one of the real beauties about this race. I mean, everybody truly has a chance of making the field. It may take a little luck, but they got a chance to do it.
Now, how many cars do you start?
42.
42.
Yep.
That's awesome, man. Skip Wall, one of our reporters, he said that you have drivers coming that are like eight or nine guys that are like under, say, 18, 19. You got them as old as 51.
Yeah, the oldest guy's 51, Tink Reedy out of Roanoke, Virginia. He's been coming for years. But we've got some of these UARA kids who, like Matt DiBenedito, and actually Jake Crum couldn't even test last week because he was 15 years, 11 months, and 24 days. you've got to be 16 years old to race in a NASCAR event. In fact, he couldn't even get in the pits. But he'll get his NASCAR license on Thursday, and he'll be racing, he'll be 16 years and 4 days or something like that. I think we've got three or four 16-year-olds. We've probably got a dozen kids under 19 or under. And we've got a couple of ladies racing this time. We've got Tiffany Daniels, who's actually an engineer for Chip Ganassi Racing, and Chrissy Wallace, Mike Wallace's daughter, and she's just a real talent. She won three times over at Hickory this year, and she doesn't mind roughing it up with the guys a little bit.
And what kind of crowd you get for this?
Obviously it doesn't compare to our Cup crowds, and when we put 70,000 people in there, but we'll have a solid 20,000-25,000 people for it. It's a good crowd for a regional event.
That's a good crowd for a late model race.
It's a $20 ticket. I mean, it's hard to get into a weekly show for $20. We call it the best Saturday night show on a Sunday afternoon.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. $20, and they get to see a ton of racing.
That's right.
Well, every year for the last few years anyway, we've always hooked up with the winner and had him on our show, and we'll expect to do this again this time. And I'm sure Skip Wall will be there doing his best to give us some good coverage for it.
Well, anything I can do to help you guys, let me know.
All right, Mike.
All right, Mike, we know you're busy, man.
Appreciate it.
We'll set you back out to your work. Thanks a lot for being on the show with us tonight.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Mike Smith. Martinsville Speedway, man, that sounds like a fun weekend.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad that Skip has shifted. Skip Wall, our North Carolina guy, has shifted gears and is spending more time at these Ace Speedway and these other tracks up in North Carolina. Yeah, he's been, of course, covering the Hooters Pro Cup for a long time, and he's decided to go in a different direction, cover Whelen Modifieds and late model stocks in the Carolinas and Virginia. Because there's a lot of stuff going on up there.
Oh, man. No doubt.
That's where it is. That's the Hollywood of racing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I got to tell you, before we go to break, we're going to come back with Brandon Johnson. I got to tell you, we ought to put out a bounty on Mr. Nyborg.
Hans Nyborg?
We need to put a bounty out on this guy.
Yeah.
And have somebody, a bounty hunter, track him down. You know, on Thursday night, we play these retro racing shows, these shows from 2000, 2001, back in them days. Of course, you and Hans were the hosts of the show.
Right.
And people can get a flavor for what Hans was all about. A very interesting man. Very interesting guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Thursday night, you can listen to Hans. I'll tell you what, I bet you we could scrounge a pair of tickets to the Governor's Cup.
Oh, that's no doubt.
For anybody who can find Hans Nyborg and have him get in touch with us, you got a pair of tickets to the Governor's Cup.
Absolutely. Florida Governor's Cup, New Smyrna Speedway in November.
Yeah.
Got to.
We'll
have to punch this thing up and get a bounty. I get him found.
Yeah. Email addresses are all over the website. So get a hold of us or post it on the message board.
All right.
We're looking for Hans.
Let's take a quick one, and we'll be right back with Brandon Johnson from the ASA Late Model Series.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail?
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler. Because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Desider's Cable TV hooker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Wayne Rudiman, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com. The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
And speaking of the ASA, we have one of the hot shoes from the ASA Late Model South who just went out to I-70 Speedway and put on a pretty one hell of a show out there. Brandon Johnson, welcome back to Real Racing USA Live.
Thanks for having me.
Brandon, second in the points right now. It's looking good this year, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, it's turning out pretty good. It's more than I thought for our first year in ASA, well, late models in general. I mean, we're pretty consistent, and we've been starting to qualify a lot better now, too.
Now Brandon, and we were up there in Sonoya Raceway for the second race of the weekend, that weekend, been to South George Motorsports Park the night before, and then you're up at Sonoya, and I asked you about if you were going to be able to make it to I-70, and you weren't even sure you were going to be able to get out there.
Yeah, it was a pretty big struggle just to make it there. I mean, we made out pretty fortunate on the Georgia doubleheader weekend that our car was still together and we didn't really have any damage. But I mean, because I'm pretty much the only one that works on a car during a week, so I had to switch everything over to get up to I-70. And my dad, fortunately, he made just enough money so we can get up there and back. And I got to thank my grandma, too. She pays our gas to get up and back, too. So that really helped out.
You know, Brandon, I look at the points race right now, and there's a lot of drivers there that, you know, got some high-buck sponsors and all that stuff. And you're sitting right there in second, got that one win right there, and you're just running by your bootstraps, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty much a shoestring operation we have right now. I mean, we could really use a sponsor. I feel like we could do a whole lot better if we did. But, I mean, I'm learning a lot doing it all by myself, though. But it would be a big help if we would have extra help or just more people to help us in the pits and stuff like that.
Well, that's why, you know, one of the reasons we were originally going to have you on Wednesday night's ASA O'Reilly ASA Fastlane show, but I wanted to have you on so we had a little more time, and I'm just curious as all get out as to how you're able to pull this off. Maybe you don't know.
No, I mean, we just keep learning every time we go out. I mean, we got a lot of people, a lot of resources. We ask a lot of questions, and we try and get as much information as we can, and we just take everybody's information, and we just put it all through the car, and different things we use, different information we use from different people, and we just try and get as much information as we can, and we just get out there, and I don't know, maybe it's some luck, but it's been working for us, so we'll keep on doing it.
Well, it wasn't luck at New Smyrna because, I mean, nobody had anything for you at that race.
No, New Smyrna, I mean, I've had a pretty lot of laps around there in a truck, but that was the first time in a late model there. But we did test there like 2 weeks earlier, and I feel that really helped out a lot. But these tracks coming up, or actually all the tracks after that and before that, we haven't tested that. So I feel that was a big advantage with testing.
Now, I know you'd never seen I-70 in your life, right?
No, I've never even seen any track like that.
No, I haven't been there. Rick, you haven't been there, right?
No.
Okay, now, from everything that people who have been there a lot and have raced there tell me, this is a high-banked, monster, faster-than-Bristol kind of racetrack. And tell us about your adventure out there, man, because you did really good.
Yeah, I mean, I showed up there Friday night, and I watched a couple people out there practicing and stuff. Track was, it looked kind of intimidating a little bit getting out there. I mean, the track is huge. Banked really bad, or a lot of banking in the track. And I talked to a couple local people there about setups and things like that. And it seemed that we were pretty close to what everybody else was running. So we went out there Saturday, and we were just practicing all day, and we got the car racing good. And we went out Sunday and we qualified decent. And then we got lucky with the draw. It helped us out, and we set us on the outside pole. And then we led a bunch of laps. And the last 10 laps of the race, we cut a left rear tire down and kind of got a chance for a real good finish. But we ended up finishing 11th anyway.
Where were you running when you cut the tire down?
We were running second.
Yeah.
We were right behind the 88. I think we led all the way up until like lap 130.
Yeah.
In the first half of the race, we were really good. Our car was just about perfect. We just had a little trouble coming off four. But then we bolted on the new set of tires, and the car tightened up just a little bit, and the 88 was allowed to get, or that allowed him to get around us. And we definitely would have finished second, I would think. I mean, me and the 88 pulled away from the rest of the field, but that last 10, I must have just picked up something and cut the left rear down.
So it wasn't intimidating and after you got actually going, huh?
No, once you get out there, I mean, it's a pretty big track. You don't really feel the speed too much, but, I mean, you definitely know you're flying.
Well, you know, Brandon, you say that you ask a lot of questions and you apply it to the racing. I think next year a lot of people are going to be asking you a lot of questions.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's a good idea, but yeah.
Who sets up your car? Who does your setup?
Pretty much I do everything. I mean, I do it all at our, because we have a little two-car garage at our house, and I, during the week and during when I'm not working, I do all the setup, all the alignment, all that stuff. And then when we get to the racetrack, my dad, he does the tires. And that's how our car gets done, and that's our setups.
Who taught you?
Just a lot, and just questions, just asking people, being around, like, we started being around Sean Bass's team and those guys about a couple years ago, and I just pick up on things, and we just go from there. And a lot of it, you translate a lot of it from go-karts. You know, they don't use springs. You can still use, like, the wedges and things like that to figure out what you need to do.
And how old are you now, Brandon?
22.
22?
Yeah.
I think you learned pretty good. How can you apply racing with the trucks compared to the late model?
The trucks was just a lot of throttle control, I think. I think that really helped me out, throttle control and just being patient. Because, I mean, I learned a lot from the trucks because I went straight from a go-kart to a truck, and they were pretty much totally different. So I figured I learned a lot from the truck, and that helped me out with the throttle control for the late model and things like that.
Yeah, going from the truck to the late model is almost completely different again, isn't it?
Yeah, it was better, I think, because, I mean, in the truck, I mean, you get to the corner and the truck just doesn't turn. With these late models, you get down in the corner and they actually turn, and then you get back on the gas and you got 10 inches of tire to stick, so it's a little easier to drive at some point.
Now, you got DeSoto Speedway coming up here in a few weeks. Have you got any laps on that track yet?
No, I haven't. That's one of the Florida tracks I haven't even seen yet. So.
Oh, that, I didn't know that.
Right. No, I haven't raced there or seen it yet. But I'm trying to get out there Thursday for a test. So, but I don't know if we're going or not right now.
Yeah, that's just coming Thursday? Yeah, it would have to be, huh?
Yeah, because the race is coming up a week after that.
Yeah, October 6th. Yep. The race is.
Yeah, so I'm just fascinated by the fact. I noticed when I was at, I think it was Sonoya again, I noticed that when the cars were coming up to the, you're going through their tech, and there's Brandon, and I guess your girlfriend or your wife.
No, my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend, I'm sorry. He's there with his girlfriend. There was one other guy. Brandon's got his uniform half off, and he's doing all the work. Now, the car in front of him's got like
12 guys.
12 guys pushing the car, all in uniforms, doing all kinds of things. And that was the moment where it struck me that there's something different going on in the Brandon Johnson camp.
There's real work going on.
Yeah, it's a little different with us. I mean, we really can't afford anything more than what we have right now. And I mean,
you're from the Orlando area, right?
Yeah, Longwood.
Yeah, Longwood. Go ahead. What were you going to say there?
I mean, you saw what was going on. I mean, that's pretty much all we can afford is just me, my dad, and what other people we can get there to help us. And I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, I tell you what, you're holding your own, man. It's
no doubt.
Somebody, you're somebody that Florida race fans can certainly be proud of, and I mean that sincerely. You're doing one hell of a good job, and we look forward to seeing you at DeSoto Super Speedway on October the 6th.
Fifth and sixth
for the ASA Late Model Series. Probably expect a whole bunch of, I'm sure we'll talk to you again before that on our other show, but you expect a lot of Florida guys who maybe aren't racing it. I mean, a lot of guys have dropped out, Brandon, that dropped out of running the whole series because they couldn't either afford it or they couldn't cut the mustard. Do you expect to see a lot of those guys maybe come back to DeSoto?
Yeah, I think a couple more will be there, especially like Anthony Campia, I would think, and a few others that I know they've been running there with their car, so
right.
I expect them to come out there and probably be pretty contending for the win or a top five. I mean, if we're in there, they had a lot of laps there in a late model, so I think there'll be probably a few more Florida people there than it had been.
Yeah, it should be a good night of racing.
Yeah, so you're about 100 points or so behind Jeff Choquette, and I guess there's 3 points races left.
Yeah.
DeSoto, Hickory, and then Birmingham.
Birmingham,
yeah. And how did you do at Birmingham earlier this year? I think Bo Slocum won out there. How did you do?
Yeah, both passed me for the lead. I led 100 of the laps there in the last 25. Same thing with tires. We had a right rear going down. So it seems like tires this year have just been biting us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had this at South Georgia, too, during that doubleheader.
That's right.
We were running fourth and had to come in for a right front flat. And we came back through and finished sixth there, I think. But at Birmingham we ended up finishing second, so we had a pretty good car there too. So that's a pretty wild track too.
Birmingham?
Yeah,
I understand. It's a fast place.
Yeah, it's real flat and you run up against the wall kinda like Darlington. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I'll tell you what, though, we're glad you could spend some time with us here tonight, and still looking for that big sponsorship. Still looking for somebody to pay attention to number 41 in the
ASA.
They
need to.
Absolutely, man.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Somebody needs to step up and pay attention here because you're looking now. You want to finish. Obviously, we don't want to get too far ahead, but have you already made plans for next year, or are you just going to wait and see how things work out this year?
Yeah, we're just kind of waiting and seeing because, I mean, I would like to get into, like, a CRA car or something like that, or maybe run the ASA Challenge Series. But, I mean, as it stands right now, I think the South is about as much as I could afford right now.
Right.
So, I mean, we're just kind of waiting and seeing and hoping, kind of.
All right, Brandon.
Trying to get my name out there more and more exposure for myself, and maybe something will happen for me.
Well, you're the one that they need to be looking at because front to rear, top to bottom, behind the wheel, he knows how to do it.
All right, Brandon Johnson, ASA Late Model Southern Division. Hey, it's good talking with you, man, and we'll if we don't talk to you beforehand, we probably will, but if we don't talk to you before, we'll see you at DeSoto Super Speedway October the 6th.
Definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you.
I'll be talking to you again after DeSoto.
Yeah. All right, Brandon.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, man. Somebody needs to pick up on this boy right here, man. This dude.
I keep trying to find what's wrong with this picture, man. It's just. Mind-boggling.
When he won at New Smyrna, I mean, the kid took off and was gone. Jeff Choquette, we got an interview. I got an interview with Jeff Choquette.
That's right.
I had nothing for Brandon Jessen.
Nothing for him, man.
You know, and Jeff's got a good piece under him,
and a lot of experienced people right there in his.
Well, Jeff's got experience. I mean, look at the laps that he's got at New Smyrna. Yeah. He's won the Governor's Cup.
Boggles my mind, too. Well, I'll tell you what, Rick. We just, I think we've come full circle. We talked to Natalie Sather.
Uh-huh.
ASCS Sprint Car Champion.
Went to Arkansas. Talked to John Mitchell and Kyle Beard, the champion and the rookie of the year in the AMP Dirt Late Model Series.
Yeah. Ryan Crane, who's working on a championship in the, looks like he's going to take that Blizzard Series championship.
Yeah. Well, it's still up in the air.
Oh, it's still up in the air?
Yeah, Justin Drotty's right there in second place. Okay. I think he's a little over 100 points. But
can't count Justin Drotty out of nothing.
And then, of course, them crazy guys with the Killa cycle. Bill Dubay and Scott Polacek. That's just.
Can you imagine getting. The all of them guys, that whole team together in a room?
No, I don't want
to. You'd need
it. I'd have to have a
translator.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
Late model stocks coming up at the NASCAR late model stock deal at
Martinsville.
Bailey's 300.
Okay. Mark Smith from Martinsville, the public relations guy. That guy's really good.
Oh, he's very cool.
I like talking to Mark.
Smart guy. He knows a lot of stuff about it. There's a lot of stuff we didn't have time to get into tonight about the economic impact on racing and things.
Yeah.
He's really on to that sort of stuff, and it's his job. He's a marketing guy, but hopefully we can get him back soon and talk about some of that stuff when he has more time.
Talking about 20,000 people at a late model race?
Yeah.
$20 a ticket?
Tomorrow night at 9 to 10 is the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane Show. Here on RealRacingUSA.com. And then before that, of course, we have Straight Lining with Stevie. The wild and crazy Stevie Letemp's going to talk to some
door slammers.
Door slammers and some of the craziest human beings on this planet, the all Harley drag racers, man.
Who have some competition now with the all battery drag racers.
Yeah, the National Electric, the Nedra and Adra. I mean. I think it's time to go.
Let's go. All right, Real Racing USA, another Tuesday night show. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 7 to 9. Don't forget, you got a post you want to make, you got a suggestion for a show, just post it on realracingusa.com. Go to fan forums, and it'll be right there. For Jack Smith, I'm Rick Angies. Good night now. We'll be right back.
making time. If it all fell to pieces tomorrow, you still be mine. When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you can't. One more time. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. Take it to the limit. One more time. Take it to the limit. Come on and take it to the limit. You gotta take it to the limit one more time.
Bud Light presents